Glory to God. We're going to the Word of God, Luke chapter 15. Hallelujah. God has already done what he wanted to do. I just want to give you something to hold on to for this week. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15. If you would give me 10 minutes, I'd be out your way. Glory to God. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We glorify you and honor you for another privilege and opportunity to share this glorious gospel with a great group of people. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would say something that would edify us, that would build us up in our most holy faith, so that we would not only be hearers, but we would be hearers and doers of your word. Help us to apply your word to our lives so that we could be who you have called us to be, and so that we could do what you have called us to do. We thank you and we praise you. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So even now, we thank you for direction as we listen and hear attentively, God, what you have to say to us. You said, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Right now, God, we open up our ears, the ears of our spirit, God, so that we could receive from you. We thank you and we praise you in advance. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. It is our custom to stand to reverence the reading of God's word. So if you have Luke chapter 15, I want you to stand. It will be the last time I ask you to stand. So I want you to stand and declare, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Luke chapter 15. We're looking at verses 11 through 24. Thank you for worshiping with us again today. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So the father divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And the prodigal son would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, my God, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Our sermonic spotlight resides in verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And when he came to himself, I want to teach for the next 10 minutes from the thought or the theme, I'm getting my mind back. Look at somebody on your row and say, I'm getting my mind back. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm getting my mind back. This is our month of resetting our minds. The year of the reset. God is starting us over, starting afresh, helping us to start afresh and start anew. And this month we're talking about resetting our minds. When we look at the particular text, we want to talk to you about a term, amnesia. Everybody say amnesia. Amnesia is defined as the loss of memory due usually to brain injury, shock, fatigue, or repression. It is a gap in one's memory, the selective overlooking of events that are not favorable to one's purpose, position, or destiny, amnesia. It is the loss of memory due usually to brain injury, shock, fatigue, or repression. How many of you are in situations that you're just tired of? All right, fatigue. Things that come in your life just make you tired. Things that people that are draining. Come on. I hope I can find somebody somewhere in the building, anywhere. There are some things that are going on in your life that today I give you a license to forget about it. I give you a license to have spiritual amnesia so that you can selectively overlook things that are not conducive to your future, your destiny, your purpose, or your position. Somebody say amnesia. We need to do what Paul said. He said, forgetting what's behind me and reaching forward to what's ahead of me. He said it in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, it's a certainty. I'm going to forget what's behind me. The reason why Paul wants us to forget what's behind us is because it's behind us. No matter whether it was good or bad, there's nothing you can do about it now but forget about it. Somebody shout, forget about it. Most things that we got going on in our head are trying to make us lose our identity, trying to make us forget who we are in God. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's trying to steal your identity. He's trying to kill your destiny. He's trying to destroy your spirit. But I came as a bearer of good news to declare that the devil is still a liar, because what God has for me, it is for me. What God said about you, it will come to pass. He is the Alpha. He is Omega. He is the first. He is the last. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. You just have to hold on in the middle of the situation. You don't know the end from the beginning like God does, but he knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows where he's taking you, and you got to hold on by faith and believe that God is going to make it good in your life. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, the good news is I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about resetting our minds, we got to get back to the factory settings. I talked to you last week about sometimes it's frustrating going through a reset. How many of you have the iPhone? Right? How many of you have done the new downloads and all that stuff? And sometimes it wipes out all of your contemporary or your tailor-made settings. All right, y'all still got the Crackberry? Who got iPhones in here? Raise them up. All right, so you know when you download the new application or whatever, and sometimes it can wipe everything out and give you something new. That doesn't happen to y'all? All right, well, sometimes it does, and it messes it up, and now you don't know how to use your phone and all that stuff. You're calling the Apple Store and doing all that stuff. Let me help you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. One thing you got to realize about a reset is that the reset will always take you back to the factory settings, because there's some memory on your phone that you're taking up that you don't even use anymore. There's people on your phone that you don't even talk to anymore. Delete them out of your phone. There's applications on your phone that one time or another in your life was very beneficial. It's not beneficial anymore. It needs to stop taking up memory and space, because if you go back, if you reset to the factory settings, then maybe your phone would work a little bit faster. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you that your life seems slow or sluggish because you got people that you don't even connect with anymore, that are not going where you're going, that are not saying what you're saying, that are not living how you're living, but they're still taking up space in your mind. You need to delete them. Tell somebody I'm getting my mind back. Our text shows us three things, and I told you I'd give you 10 minutes, so I'm going to let you go. Our text shows us three things that this prodigal son did. The first thing that we see in our text is that recollection leads to revelation. Everybody say, recollection leads to revelation. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, ladies and gentlemen, how long is it going to take us to come to ourselves? How long are we going to be in a situation before we actually come to ourselves and say, this is not what God has for me? How long are we going to endure hardness as a good soldier before we make up in our minds that we must come to ourselves because my life is better with God than it is where I am right now? We must come to ourselves and realize and understand that who God said I am is much better than what people say I am. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever had people lie on you, if you've ever had people talk about you, if you've ever had people to criticize you, people that talk about you that don't even know you, but if you've ever had that, you'll understand and appreciate when God calls you what he calls you. You must be who God called you to be. You must remember who God called you to be. Recollection always leads to revelation. Could it be nothing has been revealed in our lives because we're not remembering anything? We're not remembering who we are. We're not remembering who God has called us to be. Recollection leads to revelation. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? In other words, I am living beneath my privileges. Ladies and gentlemen, can I submit to you that many of us in this room are living beneath our privileges because we've left the Father's house? Many of us are living beneath our privileges because we've traveled into a far country. How many of you have ever woken up and found yourself in a far country? A situation, maybe you weren't in a far country, but a situation you woke up and said, where in the world am I? More importantly, how in the world did I get here? We got here by not paying attention. We got here by not understanding or obeying the word of God. We got here by saying yes to our flesh and no to our spirit. We got here because we ignored the plan of God for our lives, and we've accepted something that is beneath what God has called for us to have. We need to remember who we are so that we can get a revelation of what to do. He said, aha, I know what I'll do. I'll go to my father's house and I will repent. Recollection leads to revelation, Sister Sandy. But what happens is revelation should always lead us to repentance. If you are in a bad situation and God reveals light in that bad situation and you are too haughty and prideful to repent and say, God, I was wrong, I'm sorry. God, I messed up, I'm sorry. We have to get to the place where we're not so prideful that we can't repent or turn away from our wrongdoing. Now, I know, ladies and gentlemen, that many of us in the room, especially the men, we think we're right all the time. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. If your husband's in here, wives, don't say nothing. All right? Y'all, we think most of the time, most men, we think we're right all the time. I can say it, I got the mic. And 95% of the time, we are. Can I get an amen, brothers? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen from the men? Men, if y'all don't say amen, I'll eat y'all up. Come on. I thought, listen, I lost the brothers with the first statement, so I had to bring them back. Come on, clap your hands, brothers. Thank you. At least 95% of the time, we think we are. The reality of life is we're not always right. And when we're wrong, we must repent. This young man said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father, and I'll just fall on the sword. I'll just say, Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He says, make me like one of the hired servants. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about getting our minds back, once God gives us revelation, we now need to act like something's been revealed to us. We need to repent and turn from our wicked ways. Everybody say, recollection leads to revelation. Say, revelation leads to repentance. And finally, repentance leads to restoration. He said, okay, I'm going to repent, and now I'm going back to my father's house, and I'm going to tell him I'm wrong. Watch what the father does. Somebody in this room need to thank God for his grace. How many of you have ever been blessed by God with some money, but you blew it? How many of you have ever had a decent relationship and you blew it? How many of you have ever had some friends that because they told you the truth one day, you deleted them out of your phone and you don't want to call them back, but they were truly your friend? You blew it. Thank God for his grace. Watch what happened. The young man blew it. He lost everything with riotous living. And I ran past this. I need to drop this on you, because isn't it funny, when you're on the mountaintop, you got a whole bunch of friends. But when you're in the pig's pen, you're by yourself. Oh, I hope that's for somebody in this room to understand. You need to hang out with folk that hang out with you on the mountaintop and in the pig's pen. I don't need friends on the mountaintop. Come on, help me. I don't need friends on the mountaintop more than I need friends when I'm in the pig's pen. He said he found himself in the pig's pen, and he would have eaten the food that he was feeding to the pigs, but nobody would give it to him. Folk will hang out with you when you look good to everybody else, but they walk away from you when you start looking bad for everybody else. But the good thing is, God wants people to walk away from you because of what he's doing in your life. Because this next reset, he set you back to set you up. Did you hear what I just said? And sometimes people ain't gonna leave you until something bad goes in your life. And something bad gotta go on in your life before God can release the blessing that he really wants to have in your life. Watch what he did. The father saw the young boy, and he saw him afar off. Said, does that look, that looks like my son. And the Bible says that he ran to him, and he was filled with compassion, and he jumped on his neck and he kissed him. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that say? This speaks to the compassion and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that all you got to do, my mother used to teach me and say, if you take one step, God will take two. What that really means, ladies and gentlemen, is we left him pointing in the wrong direction. He did not leave us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, but he will be with us even until the ends of the world. And when he sees us coming back, he is going to reach us and meet us right where we are. Recollection leads to revelation. Revelation leads to restoration. Revelation leads to repentance. And repentance leads to restoration. Watch what the father does. He sees his dirty, messy son. Don't miss that in the text. The man was in the pig's pen. He was with pigs, pigs' mess, mud, dirt. He sees his son and he kisses him anyway. Some folk won't handle you until you get yourself cleaned up. God is the kind of God that he'll kiss you right while you're dirty. I don't understand why church folk are the way church folk are. You got to get yourself all the way together before you can come to God. No, God says, come just the way you are, and you're going to still be dirty. I'll still embrace you. I'll still kiss you. I'll still love you. When everybody else runs out on you, God will run in just the way you are. He kissed him on his neck, as dirty as this young man was. And watch what he says. He sees his father and he says, Dad, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. His father shuts him up and he looks at the servant and he said, get him a robe. Somebody got a coat? Mom, let me see your coat. That's a real fancy coat today. Now, this is a woman's coat. Don't y'all show this to nobody, okay? Somebody said, I look like Akeem from Coming to America. Go ahead. I want you to understand the purpose. Remember, he was dirty. The father said, I'm getting ready to send you back to the house. You've been outside of the house and you're dirty. Go get him a robe so that I can cover him, so that the people in the house don't know about his dirt. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime the house folk start talking about people's dirt, that is not of God. Because God is the kind of God that'll put a robe on you so that nobody will know what you came out of, where you've been, what you've been doing. God covers. Everybody say atonement. Atonement is a biblical word that simply means covering. And when he died for our sins, his blood covering, we don't talk about it much anymore, but we used to preach about a blood covering. It is the atonement. Y'all put your phones down. I see y'all taking this picture. The blood covering, God covers us. He said, put a robe on him. Now take this coat off. It's hot. Thank you. He put a robe on him. He said, go get a robe. I'm going to cover him so y'all can't judge him for where he's been, because he's still my son. Then he said, I'm going to put a ring on his finger. Now, husbands and wives, y'all understand that. And we usually talk about the ring means commitment. But there's something else that the ring means, too. The ring means ownership. Now, I know we don't like to say that in church. But if I give you a ring, and I don't mean own you like I tell you what to do, sit down, shut up, and all that stuff. That's not what I mean. But if I put a ring on your finger, I change your last name. That's ownership. You are no longer, we're going to come against that spirit of hyphenated last names. No, no. Your name ain't so-and-so, so-and-so. Your last name is your husband's last name. Come on. That's a whole nother story. That's in the Bible. Right? Talking about ownership. The Father says, watch this. The Father says, because I know how these people in the house are going to act. So I'm doing several things. Number one, I'm going to cover him. And number two, I'm going to show them that he belongs to me. So whatever you got to say, be careful about what you say about my son, because he's mine. That's why he gave him a ring. Put some sandals on his feet. He's been out here too long. He probably got his soles are messed up. Put something on his feet so that he can keep on moving. And then he says, kill the fatted calf. I'm over my time. Can I get at least one more minute? If you'll give me one more minute, raise your hand. Y'all keep falling for that. Y'all keep falling for that. I had at least 100 people raise their hand, so that means I have 100 minutes. Watch this. Kill the fatted calf. I'm done. Kill the fatted calf, because we're getting ready to celebrate. He said, this was my son who was dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. Ladies and gentlemen, when you come to the place where God has revealed, you know, stuff to you, and where you have repented, and now you've been restored, there's times now for you to make a reservation. Now you need to make a reservation, because there's getting ready to be a celebration. And there'll be people in the house. Y'all, I'm done, but there'll be people in the house that don't think that God should be partying with you. There'll be people in the house. Watch this, because the elder brother in the text, if y'all keep on reading, the elder brother looked at this and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Said, pump your brakes, Dad. I never left you. I've been right here. You ain't thrown no party for me. You know, Sister Carolyn, what I did not see until just now? The Holy Ghost just showed me something. Both of y'all got the money at the beginning of the text. Both of y'all got it. You didn't leave, so you didn't spend none. So there needs to be no restoration for you, elder brother. If you in the house, thank God you in the house, and keep doing what you've been doing. Lift your hands, glorify God, and keep on praising him. There needs to be no restoration for someone who never left. We got attitudes about dumb stuff. We're mad about something we never lost. There needed to be a celebration for the prodigal son, because he lost everything. He messed up his inheritance. Now I'm getting ready to restore him. Ladies and gentlemen, can I help you to understand before we leave today? I need you to understand that God is getting ready to bring a big celebration into your life. This is going to be your year that God is getting ready to open up blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears, and he's getting ready to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think. 2013 may have been a year of a setback, but he only set you back so that he can help you to give you a big comeback. That's what he did. This reset that God wanted to do, you're wondering, you're trying to figure out, how did I lose all this stuff? God's saying, I allowed you to do it. I allowed you to come through it so that people that are watching, because nobody was watching you before you lost. Losing makes people talk about you. Losing makes people talk about you more than winning does. People are sure talk about you when you lost, the way they won't talk about you when you win. And God said, I needed you to lose something so that you could gain something greater. Do you understand that in every great victory, there's a measure of loss? It's called sacrifice. What are you willing to lose, my brothers and my sisters, in order to win? Let's make a reservation, because we're getting ready to party. This, my son, was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, and he's alive again. God is helping you to get your mind back. Wherever you lost it, God said, I want you to get your mind back. I want you to recapture who you really are in me. The Bible says, in him, the promises of God, in him are yes, in him are amen. Maybe we're not receiving the promises of God the way he wants us to because our position is out of him. We're in the wrong position, ladies and gentlemen. All you got to do is get back in position, and there's a yes over your head standing all over this building. Hallelujah. I'm getting my mind back. There's so many things that we go through in life that try to rob us of our identity. Don't let your circumstance rob you of your identity. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've gone through, it wasn't bad enough to kill the purpose of God on your life. No matter how long you've been down, it's time for you to get back up. If there's one person in this room today, you are not saved. You've never accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of your life, and you want to give your heart to Christ. What does it mean to be saved? It means I no longer live my life for myself, but I live my life to please him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives on the inside of me. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You might be saying, preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've done. And you may be right about that, but I could be saying the same thing back to you. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've had to come through. But the same God that was able to deliver me, the same God that was able to save me, the same God that was able to heal me, is able to do it for you too. He's not a respecter of persons. If you want to give God your heart today, I want you to come from wherever you are. We will pray with you today. Come to Jesus. Meet him in the pardon of your sins. Wherever you are, let's give our lives to Jesus Christ. Come on.